Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the LDS Women's Book Review. I'm Shanda, here with my friends.
Sheila.
And your favorite Hillary.
We have a very exciting podcast today. Woo-hoo! I'm really excited for this one. I've been looking forward to this one for a month. But before we get into that, we'll take care of all those little extras we like to do.
Yep.
First, let's start with news. Any personal news? Anyone? Sheila survived her primary program.
We only went over about like 20 minutes, but it's okay.
That's not maybe bad it was for 30 minutes. I don't know.
But we finished. It was great.
That's good. What about you, Hill?
The only thing interesting I did is I think I told you guys already, but the listeners don't know. I like blazed through and scrapbooked 15 pages. I think it might be even 20, but they're not creative. They're cute, but they're not creative.
Well, they're done.
They're That's done. What matters. So my kids' pages that they get to take when they move away from home, they get to, are done. They're caught That's up. Fun. So I'm very excited.
I figure
now I'm going to have fun.
I'm going to make one page, and by the time they leave, we're going to be able to copy. I think you said that to me one time, and I was like, good point.
What's
by
that?
The time our kids grow up, there's going to be so many easy ways to duplicate what you've got. Why
will.
Make multiple
that
pages?
That is exactly what I
Oh, I'm done. Not making multiple yeah. pages. No way.
Yeah, so I just like that I can put them in the different categories because before I felt like I had to do one for Tana, one for family, one for whatever. Now I just pick a category and that's where it goes. And
that's then what I do too. That's
if they exactly want a copy later, we'll make a copy.
That's what I
they
thought.
Don't get, they
in
don't
20
get
years, they're just it will be easy.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to worry about it.
And or everything will be fried and
we'll, yeah, it'll all be ruined anyway.
It won't matter exactly. anyway.
Or hey, yes. it'll be the end of the world and won't matter. So there you go.
Well, what do they say that you know? If it's written on earth, it's written in heaven. So hey,
oh hey,
scrapbooked on earth, it will be scrapbooked. In
yep, we have backups of our scrapbooks in heaven.
That's right.
Sorry, I just had to throw that one in.
I like that.
Okay,
I
do so, like that. Personal news? Anyone else?
No, not really.
I'm just tired a lot.
My husband's been traveling a lot again, and with three, I have to admit, it's a little harder. So I'm trying not to be flaky, listeners, but you'll have to give me some leeway, please.
And we're just going to offer our disclaimer right now. Sheila and I did not sleep well last night. Not together.
Sheila and I.
I should clarify that.
How about Shanda and
I? I did not sleep
well. None of us got any sleep last night.
Shanda was up with kids all night long.
I got less sleep than both of them.
I don't know. So. I could give you a run for your money there. I went to bed at 1 and got up at 4.
I went to bed at 1 also.
Up at 4.
Okay, we're tied.
Up at 4:30, up at 5:30.
Did I mention that my cat wouldn't leave me alone either and Lindsay woke up?
I had two kids with nightmares and a husband who slept through it all.
How does that happen?
You know what's funny though?
It always happens like that, I swear.
I have to share with you because out of the last 3 weeks he's been gone too with business. And this morning when Tana came in and said that she had a bad dream, the first thing I did was reach over to pat the bed and say, come and sleep in mommy's bed. But there was something there and I was hitting it, trying to figure out what it is. And I finally lifted my head and opened my sleepy eyes and was like, who is in the bed with me? And I realized, wait a minute. It's my husband. Okay. Because, you know, he got back yesterday afternoon. And so it was just kind of strange. I'm like, wait, someone's in my bed. Who is this?
Oh,
is
that Jason? Man?
Oh yeah. It's that guy that sleeps with me sometimes. But anyway, I don't say that to make him feel guilty or anything. It was just kind of funny. It made me laugh. Oh, and Riley's on cereal
Yay.
Once a day if I remember to give it to him. So all these, he's going to be 6 months right before Halloween, and it's just going by so fast, you guys. He's sitting up on his own. He's got his first tea.
I can't wait for sitting up. I'm looking forward to that.
I know. It seems like it's just gone by so fast. And do you guys realize it's almost been 2 years since we, in December, it'll be 2 years since the concept of this podcast occurred to
we
me.
We really need to do something special on our two-year
anniversary.
That would be should. Fun.
Maybe that's when we'll celebrate our little remember our podcast with us, and we'll do that little
Ooh,
contest
yeah,
with the podcast
idea.
Trivia.
Yeah.
You know what? I think we need to save that for when we have more participating listeners.
Hint, hint.
Hint. Hillary and I haven't been best friends for 20 years. We can read each other's minds. Anyway, so yeah. But hey, we'll think of something fun just to do. We'll decide what it is a little later.
We'll let you know.
Yep.
Okay. I can't forget about the contest. Okay,
how many contest people have hang been on. Noticing that contest?
That's Actually, like it's picked up.
Excellent.
Good.
It's picked up because the last month now, so people are starting to send in all their entries. We're waiting a little bit, and now we're getting more entries, so don't wait any longer. You don't want to miss out on your chance to possibly win these wonderful books. These are really good. If you like mystery and suspense, you'll love these books. Jeff Savage is one of the most talented authors I've come across.
And so. We are going to be so lucky next year to have three new books from
I can't wait. Three different genres. I mean, it's just like,
Woo! Go Jeff! So
we're definitely going to have him back on again.
Yes, he is coming back on to do.
I can't wait. I'm looking forward to
Jeff, whether you like it or not.
Oh, he's already told us he will.
Yeah, he has. I just
he'll come back.
He doesn't have a choice. We'll hunt him down if he doesn't.
Oh, but anyway, so definitely send your entries in. There are details on the website. Go to www.ldswomensbookreview.com and click on the contest link where you will find all the details and the ways you can enter. It's really easy. You could enter a whole bunch of times in like 5 minutes. So just go do it and enter to see if you can win these very fun books. House of Secrets and Dead on Arrival. And his next Chandra Covington book comes out first part of next year, I think.
Maybe. I'm not sure, because I know he has the 3 books coming out next year, and I'm not sure what the order is.
I don't know what the deadline is either, but sometime next year, definitely the third one will be coming out. So this will give you a chance to get reading. And, you know, if all else fails, you can give them away as a Christmas gift.
Oh, not a signed copy. You wouldn't want to.
Well, you know, as another option available to you. I wouldn't give them away. But
I wouldn't either.
Don't forget to go check that out and enter, because I've really loved hearing from the listeners who have sent in their emails. So keep sending them in. It's great. And leave comments on the books on the website. The book ratings section is for people to come and see what other people have thought. So even if it's just 2 lines, you know, I like this, you know, I'd read it again, or it's a keeper, or didn't like this, it's too long, whatever you want to say, just so the other readers can come and look and see what you thought of the book when you read it. Also, let us know what you're thinking of the podcast. Our microphone stands are here, so now we won't have to hold them. Last time we had to hold them, and it was a little noisy.
And we had to singer acts. Like, we had to break in the song.
Yes.
No more lounge singing.
If you haven't listened to the previous podcast, you're going to want to, because we have a little sing along at the end that was kind of funny.
And you can join in if you like.
Well, so we won't have to hear you.
But unfortunately, you won't have to hear us.
But anyways, it was a lot of fun trying out the microphones, but because we were holding them and moving our hands on them, it was a little bit noisy at times. But now we have the microphone stand set up, and you shouldn't be hearing all the little pops and bumps and things. So let us know how you like the sound if you have a moment.
But email by the way, us. If you don't like the way they sound, too bad, they're already paid for.
Yeah, I already bought them. But you know what? It'll be good. I don't know unless you have some suggestions, if you're a technical person that might help me, I'm all open for that too. So I'm learning how to do this podcasting thing as I go. So if any of you guys know better, I wouldn't mind hearing what you have to say. Okay, that's it for the microphone thing. recent reads. Let's get right into recent reads. Okay. Hillary has a long list.
For once.
Well, mine is really short.
So I'll go last.
We'll do Sheila and then me and then Hillary.
We'll go in order.
Mm-hmm. I read a book, a recommendation from a friend, and it's called The Princess and the Hound. And I don't remember the author's name. Sorry, I was going to write it down. It is an author from Utah. It was interesting. It's a fantasy novel about animal magic. And animal magic basically means that you can talk to the animals, and people were prejudiced against it. I don't know. To make a long story short, it was an okay book, but the story just kind of dragged for me. And I just felt like the characterization didn't get into the way I like it, you know?
The character development?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like on the surface getting to know the characters, and I don't know.
Is it part of a series or just
it was just the one book.
Okay.
But I didn't enjoy it as much.
That's going to be a challenge in one book, trying to develop the characters in one book.
It's true. I mean, the main character probably she did a good job with, but I mean, I really have a hard time after I read a book, like the Twilight books, and then try to go in reading another book, and I'm just kind of going, oh, this is hard. It just doesn't have the oomph that the others did. Then the other book that I started reading was The Goose Girl by Shannon Hale. And I just got about halfway through, and I'm just mad what's happening to her, so I put it back down and started reading the Twilight books again for the podcast.
It does get a little bit frustrating, but the book is worth it at the end.
Oh, I know, and I'm going to keep reading it. That is one, because I want to read all of her books, and her new books that are out or coming out. I think both of them are out now. Or
speaking of, I don't. The only one I know of is Austin Land,
which I read.
No, that's recent. Oh, you're talking about Anna Burning and The Princess Academy.
No, there's another book that I have on hold at the library.
Oh, I don't know that one. I only know Austin Land.
But
which Hillary did read, and she'll tell us about when she gets to her.
So I'm looking forward to reading those too. Oh, movies! I can tell you what movies I saw. A friend let me borrow Emma.
Oh,
and it was so cute.
You saw the one with Gwyneth Paltrow,
yes,
right?
Yes, with Gwyneth Paltrow. It's enchanting. I mean, I know there's that movie coming out that's called Enchanted.
It's like a fairy tale. They come out of the book and come out to New York City.
Oh, yeah.
That's where they
that does look kind of cute.
That sounds fun.
But Patrick Dempsey's in there.
So. Is he?
That's good. I love McDreamy.
Mr. McDreamy.
But I love Emma. If you haven't seen that movie, it's wonderful.
It's a classic.
It really is. And I want to get my own copy for
you. I'll have to check it out. I'm sorry. I
can't believe you haven't seen it. You know, I've had it for 10 years. I didn't know, or I had loaned it to you 10 years ago.
Well, there you go. It's your fault,
I guess so.
But as far as any other books.
Friends don't let friends not see Emma.
That's right.
Exactly. No, it was.
Oh, it's so cute.
As far as other books, I've just been reading my scrapbooking magazines because I've been trying to get into the scrapbooking thing again. Yeah,
Crop Because You Care. I'm sorry about all the scrapbooking stuff.
We are going to put
our club. Crop Because You Care is set for February 2nd of next year, February 2nd of 2008. So if that's something you're interested in Salt Lake, mm-hmm. if you're a listener in Salt Lake or in anywhere in Utah, and this is something, because we have people come from all over the state to come to the Crop Because You Care. If your life is touched by epilepsy or you know someone whose life is touched by epilepsy, it's a great excuse mm-hmm. to, you know, scrap.
Or if you just want to come and help a good money. Cause. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know anyone that's afflicted with that, but.
Yeah. And you don't even have to scrapbook, but you could just like make cards or just look through
whatever.
Your pictures or.
It's just fun to go and
enter
so
the raffles.
Fun.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun.
We have no part. This is a disclaimer. We're not.
Affiliated.
Part of it. We're not affiliated with them in any way,
no.
but we just really
enjoy just
it. It's a good cause.
Yeah.
It's a good cause.
Okay, moving on.
I think that's about it for me. I mean, between the primary program and starting preschool and everything else, it just...
As we get into closer to the holidays, I've noticed that we tend to look a little bit more at books as gifts and things.
Yes.
So maybe we'll get a little bit more reading done before November.
I'm hoping so.
We'll be able to come up with some good book recommendations for gifts for you guys next podcast. All right, is it my turn then?
It is your turn.
Okay. Well, I felt bad that I hadn't read the rest of the Betsy Brannon books, especially because her new one, Hazardous Duty, just came out, and I really want to read that. It's a new series, so I wanted to finish the Haggerty series before I got into her next one. So I read Double Cross, Christmas in Haggerty, and then her last one, Backtrack.
See, I haven't read Backtrack yet, so don't tell
Actually,
me.
Actually, it's pretty good.
Is it...
I liked it. Double Cross was good, but I wouldn't say that it was one of my favorites.
Double Cross is just totally different. She has it,
it
in
is
a different,
different
place, but I love it. For in mm-hmm. and itself, it's just a great book.
I really liked that it was centered on Mark.
Yes.
And just kind of how Kate played into it. I wasn't sure how I felt about that. It was good that they could do some of the things together that they did.
Do we know, is she writing any more Haggerty books?
I don't know. I imagine that
she's
focusing on her, because how many, she has, what, like a dozen Haggerty books?
Oh, but they're so good.
They
we
are
love
good.
The characters. That's the
maybe,
hard
maybe
part
not
of
a dozen, maybe it's
them.
Like eight or something. And she'll probably revisit, but I think it's good for her to introduce something new.
I agree.
And this series, she says, is a three-part series. Ooh. So it's not going to be a long, drawn-out one from what I've heard. It's just a three-part series. I also had this book that I picked up a long time ago, a couple years ago, by Tracy Hunter Abramson called Undercurrents. And actually, I thought it was not bad. I was like, hey, this is... I know she has a couple more that come out. This is about the Witness Protection Program.
Ooh, I like those.
There's, I like those too.
Yeah, that's why I liked Heart and
Soul.
I
liked it too.
The back says, Shay has a closely guarded secret, but can she guard her heart? Shay Kendall, an Olympic-bound swimmer, has been in the Witness Protection Program ever since she witnessed her boyfriend's murder. She now has a new name, a new life, and strict orders not to reveal her identity. But fitting into a community is hard when you can't tell people anything about yourself. When she learns that one of her new friends, Matt Whitmore, is LDS, she can't even tell him that she's a Mormon, too. She doesn't dare get involved. The fact that Matt's father is a high-profile senator could give her the kind of exposure she doesn't need. How can you fall in love when you can never reveal who you really are? But when someone almost takes her life, Shay recognizes that whoever is after her knows exactly who and where she is. Can she trust Matt to help her? Can she trust his family?
Hmm.
And so
that sounds good.
It ends, and you know there's a next book. You know, but it's not a real thick book. It's
pretty short, yeah.
I don't know. But I've had this one for a while. It's less than 200 pages, 182 pages.
That's a quick read.
That is a quick read.
That's with the preview from C.K. Bailey's Whisperings book that's at the end. You know, it was an enjoyable read. I'd recommend it to read.
Hmm.
If you know.
Sounds good.
If you want to check out a book from the library from someone you haven't, an author you haven't read, I'd say check out Tracy Hunter Abramson. See what she's got to offer. I also started reading the Millennial Glory series by Wendy Edwards. The first book is Hidden Light. And I'm only about a quarter of the way through it. And there are a few things about this book you need to know. Number one, if you like the Left Behind series by Tim LaHaye, you will like this series. She is coming at the same kind of a subject matter, you know, the Second Coming and the signs of the times, things like that. It's speculative fiction, but she comes at it from an LDS perspective. One of the reviewers on the back of this book said the endnotes at the end of the chapter, the footnotes at the end of the chapter, are one of the best parts of the book. It has quotes and scriptural references and research that she's done, things that you, I know, I've never, some of the stuff I haven't even heard of before. And it's just kind of her take about how it could happen. And so far, I'm intrigued. I'm really looking forward to finishing this book.
I think it's wonderful she has so many footnotes. Because sometimes you wonder, where did you find this? And why did you do this?
Yeah. Yeah, you take this approach or whatever? And she explains all of that. And there's a lot, it's based a lot on scriptures. There's a lot of scriptural reference.
That's cool.
I'm really intrigued and impressed. I can't wait to see where she takes it because there are multiple books in the series. Wars of Light, which is number 2. Apocalypse, The Unveiling, which is number 3. The Ascension, which is number 4. And Hanging by a Thread, which is number 5.
Sounds good.
So far, so good. Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, she contacted me and asked me if I would like to read, if I'd like a copy of her book to read. And we said, I talked to you ladies and we said, absolutely. So I jumped right in. And when I have had a chance to read, that's the book I pick up to read. So I'll have to let you know next time because I'll have it finished by next time. So I'll let you know. Yeah. I know that once I finish the first one, I'm going to have the second one though. She writes very engaging. Now I do have to say I have a little beef with the names that she picked because they're a little strange, but it takes place in the future.
Okay.
When you think about the strange names that we have nowadays, I don't think it's that.
Jax.
It's not so strange, but like one of her twins' names is like I'm not sure how you would pronounce it, but they're pretty names. They're just a little different. But it's not like way in the future. It's just like some time in the future. So that's the only thing that I've had to get used to. But now that I'm into it, it doesn't bother me.
They're not too bad.
No, they're not too bad. Just different.
Well, here we go. Striker and Striana.
I thought Striana, but it's like Striina.
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 Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway. But the storyline and the research is awesome. What about you, Hill? You have a long list, so you might want to dive in.
I
do have
a long list. I was going to say, I started rereading. I read all 3 of The Twilight again, so that took up some time, but not too much, because you know how you blaze through those.
Oh, yeah.
Even when you savor it, as Sheila says.
Mm-hmm. We have our S words that we're going to be talking about.
We'll discuss
these
those.
Are not the bad S words.
Let's see. I read Please No Zits, a book that Shanda gave me to read by Anne Bradshaw.
We were sent that book.
We were sent that one. And it's pretty good if you're, especially for young adults. It's broken into each chapter is a different story, about different situations that teenagers are put in. And so it's very good in terms of, the situations and how you can, as a teenager or, and in some of them, there's one in particular as an adult that are, helpful, like especially for me, there was one about a girl who would say things before thinking. Who does that sound like? So, and some advice, like her dad, I think it was her dad or her this guy she likes, dad, I don't remember. There are a lot of little stories in this. There was like 15 chapters, and they're all short stories. And there were a couple of them that I really wanted to know the ending of. Like she could probably draw those out more into a. Like there's one with a drug addict that I was curious to see how his life was going to change because he was in prison. From drugs and stuff, but she writes interesting because not all of her characters are based here in the United States. There's some
internationally.
And so that's different too. Cause you don't think in terms, every time I think international writing, I think in terms of historical, like, right. I don't know. I know that's so naive to say, but I do. So I don't think of modern Ireland or modern Scotland or modern England, even though like I can, cause then I read also a different book that takes place in England and didn't have a problem there, but I'll talk about that in a second, but so it was pretty good. I would definitely recommend it for teenagers. It has some good ideas in it and some good thoughts. It's a little bit, as an adult, you should probably know most of this stuff. I would have to say, but for a teenager, it's good advice. It does say for young adults. It does not say for as an adult read. Right. So as far as for kids, yeah.
What age of teenager?
I would say like 12 and older. I would start it as young as 12. 12 to 14 in particular, I would say. You go up much beyond that, and I'd say, they're probably going to know most of this already, so.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so overall, I'd say for that age group, I think it's a pretty good
And who was the author again?
Anne Bradshaw.
Oh, and right, I actually have some information from her. She let me know that she wanted to give me an update on where to purchase Please No Zits.
which by the way, I really don't like the title. No offense, but the book, the actual, that's the story of the title of one of the stories in the mm-hmm. book. And it's pretty good. I can empathize with the character, but, well, to a certain extent, it's more about a job she gets and less about the zits, but it doesn't matter. But, yeah, I don't like the title. I don't think it fits the book, really. But as we learned from our previous authors, they don't always get to choose the title. And if she did, it's still a good book. Just right. an odd title for the book. So,
right. Well, it definitely attracts the attention of the adults.
Oh, it catches your attention.
Yeah. Yeah, please know this. No, hey, I'm 30, this. And I'm still saying please know amen. This. Anyway, so. She says, she's not sure if Deseret Book will have it in their stores. They haven't let her know on that one. At the time that she emailed this. So she said the best place to purchase Please Know Zits is in Ladder Day Village at http://ladder-dayvillage.com/
bunch of things.
A bunch of things. I think I'm just going to have to put a link in either the show notes. I think I'll put a link in the show notes or something.
Yeah, but, I would.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so there's a few little symbols and things here, but Anne Bradshaw, you can reach her at Anne Bradshaw, BRADSHAW.com.
I'm sure Please her book's Zits available for, there.
Yeah, she might be. She'll be able to at least direct you to where you can purchase it. Anyway, she says it is also carried by independent LDS stores around the country and in England. So it makes me wonder. I wonder if she's in England.
We're kind of curious about where you live in.
Yeah. Also, well, I haven't done the research, so I could probably find out. But she has also a blog at www.annebradshaw.blogspot.com. So you can go check out her blog also.
Okay, so I read that one, and then I also read Austenland by Shannon Hale.
Okay, what did you think? I'm curious.
I thought it was old. Okay. Yes, it's pretty good, and it's interesting because I read the blog by Tristy Richardson. Was it Richardson?
No, Tristy Pinkston.
Pinkston. Mm-hmm. I know why I was thinking Richardson. Okay, Pinkston, and I liked what she said because she. We'll get into that, I'm sure, a little bit later on here, but mm-hmm. Because this book is not the character is not LDS, it is not published by Deseret Book or Covenant. And Tristy was talking about the raciness, which we'll get into with the Twilight series. But you know what? I wouldn't consider it racy. Not Austenland. There's parts of it that are definitely
like you wouldn't let your teenage daughter read it without reading it first.
I would want to read it first before letting a child read it. But it's not something a teenager. I wouldn't say child. I would say teenager. But it's a cute book. It's about a girl who meets this mysterious aunt who then, and she makes comment about, she's very obsessed with Pride and Prejudice, like beyond obsessed, like weird, kind of almost weirdly obsessed with it. And so she gets this trip in this great aunt's will to go to Austenland in England that is solely based on the book, and they have to dress in character and they walk around this estate and they have to talk in character and
it's Shanda's getting all excited.
I'm thinking it's, really that's kind of different.
Oh, I thought you were going. Oh, it's different. And she and they purposely at this place try to line you up so that you have end up with a romance by the end of the summer or by the end of your trip. Like that's part of it's a matchmaking kind of a place. And I remember at the end because the proprietress of this place gives her crap because she didn't pay for it. Like it was given to her. So she doesn't consider her a client. She's just there. She's kind of mean to her. Yeah. It's like, oh, come on.
But isn't there
it's still paid for.
Something
let her enjoy
with
it.
A gardener?
Yes. She, and that's what bugs me at the end
is
of it.
Is it a spoiler?
No. Okay. I wouldn't say it's a spoiler. The ending's interesting actually, but she hooks up with the gardener. Who she's not supposed to hook up with because she's supposed to hook up with Mr. Darcy, but his name isn't Mr. Darcy though. They change the names in it so that it's not the same, but they give you the same feel.
Oh, okay.
So,
with a quote unquote Mr. Darcy.
With a basic, yes, that's the best way to put it. And so and then at the end it made me so mad because the proprietor says something like, well, some of our guests don't fall into the mold that they're supposed to, so we have to set them up to fall in love with different kinds of people. And so. It's like, so she kind of made it sound like she was trailer trash because she fell for a gardener who watches football or something like that. Okay. Basketball was or something. So it was just, you wanted to smack
well,
the lady.
Well, I heard there was one scene that would be by more conservative LDS readers might be considered racy.
I know what scene you're referring to. And it's definitely not, how
over
do you
the
put
top?
It? It's not over the top. There's definitely not clothes flying or anything like that. It's just more descriptive of making out, I would say.
Oh, okay.
It's not something I wouldn't do with my own husband. You know, it's not something that you would need to skip a few pages like a Harlequin type of thing.
So are we
like,
talking more than kissing?
Slightly.
So hands maybe.
But
straight.
The hands are not described.
Okay.
So it's definitely
closeness.
It's closeness, and I would say a bit of what's the word I want? Excitement.
Okay.
But not over the top.
Okay.
So it's not something that I was like, ooh, I can't read this. It was right on the border of borderline. How about that?
Okay.
If that makes sense. So, but it wasn't embarrassing like you read some and you're just like, much more conservative reader may not. A very conservative reader won't want to read it. A somewhat conservative.
Or it might.
Mild. I would still call it a gentle read with a slight bit of excitement in there.
But
a little
bit
of adrenaline,
like
perhaps. And it's one scene.
Okay.
And it's not, they're making it out to be this big, huge deal. And it's really.
And if you don't want to read it,
you
and you
skip
start
it.
Reading it, just flip
you just
the page.
Flip the page. Because
it's like
really,
with TV.
It's right. A cute
Turn
book.
It, off.
It really is. And
flip
I would recommend
channel.
Reading it because it's really cute.
Yes.
And you feel for the girl. And the way it ends is really sweet. And it's not
I'm
expected.
Excited to okay. read it.
It's actually a
well,
very
it's
unexpected
not,
ending. I wasn't expecting that to happen.
Think
so.
What you okay. will. I would still probably read it because.
I would read it. It was good.
I have to judge for myself.
Yes.
I'm one of those people that I really need to judge for myself. And if it starts to get where I'm not comfortable, I either stop reading or I flip the pages.
Well, there were parts in Twilight that I went, ooh, especially
really?
Book yeah. three. Mm-hmm.
But
we'll talk about that. But it still wasn't like over the top. So, So I read that one. And then I read a book by Jeff Downs called Chaos.
Oh, I've been wanting to read that.
And I'm only about 2 chapters into it because
it's
I got frustrated.
Novel?
It's a novel.
Okay.
I know.
Or is this like a fiction? Or is this nonfiction talking about my life?
It's fiction. No, it was fiction. It's just about a guy who gets basically framed. But you know what? It was just the problem I'm having with it, and I just couldn't finish it because of this, is because it was just so out there to me. It was so
unrealistic.
Unrealistic, setup. Impossible. He lives in Golden, Colorado, which is a suburb of, I think, of Denver, but pretty far outside of Denver. So I guess it can be a suburb. Anyway, but in Colorado, in this quiet little town, and he's getting framed for murdering 4 cops, and they're tying it into the Russian mafia. And I'm sorry, but
whoa.
I'm sure that the Russian mafia can be held accountable for some things, but it just seems really out there to be held accountable for that. So,
well, I've been wanting to read that book. So, are you going to continue? Maybe
no, I'm not. I'm not going to continue with it because it was just getting a little bit predictable. And then he meets his girlfriend from 2 years ago, who's the only person who can save him, because they figure that, you know, his family's being watched and stuff, and they don't know about his ex-girlfriend. Well, she wasn't
very complicated.
It is. And then she wasn't LDS when they, and so blah blah blah. So they broke up, and all of a sudden she gets baptized, coincidentally 3 months before all this happens. I'm sorry. It was just a little bit, I'm like, oh, that's a bit convenient.
Now, are you telling me that all of this happened in 2 chapters?
3.
3 chapters?
Are you serious?
4 maybe.
Okay.
It just really.
Wow.
The character's likable. The main character's a guy, which
right.
I have a hard time identifying with, but he's a likable guy. He's not like a weird kind of guy. He's a school teacher, and he's kind of cute.
Is it written for
guys? He's a school teacher?
He's a school teacher.
Is it written for guys?
Junior high or high school, I see. I would say it's kind of cross-marketed, kind of more like on the Jeffrey Savage, Robinson Wells kind of level, except not on the same level. Okay, let me rephrase that. It can be marketed towards men and women. I would say more towards women because it's kind of more our style. I didn't get far enough to tell you if there was much romance in it because I was too annoyed. And the private investigator, that's actually what stopped me from reading it, because I got so annoyed because the private investigator was the typical, what you would envision a private investigator. He has an Italian accent or a Bronx accent from New York, and he's overweight and he smokes, and I'm just like
trench coat
basically, and
you're
I'm just
talking
like
the Bronx Pink Panther or something.
I'm like, okay, that's it. And no offense to Jeff Downs, I don't mean to, and I would still just suggest give it a shot because that's just my take on it.
Yeah.
I just had a hard
sounds
time
like it just wasn't your cup of tea.
It wasn't my cup of tea.
Well, we hit those every once in a while, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Always.
Yeah.
We're always doing it. It's amazing that we all like the Twilight books.
I know.
I mean, I had told everybody about this.
99% of the world likes the Twilight.
Well, I know, but you know, it's just like I was so enthused about them.
And usually I don't like books that you like.
I know. Mm-hmm. And so when I started getting the emails from these other two going,
oh my
really
God,
like this is so good. I'm going to read the next one. It's like, oh, yeah.
Sheila scored. She scored on this
I
one.
Did.
She gave
well,
us
and
one.
There's nothing wrong with differences, but
no,
it's nice
but
to be able to
is.
Like the same book every once in a while.
But you know what? That's what's good about us all liking different books, because
yeah,
all of our readers don't like the same
you know,
books either.
When I asked you guys to do this with me, I didn't plan it that way. Like, just wanted someone who liked to read to talk to me with these, about these books with me. And it just happened to be that we all had our own little
genres
niches
we like. Yeah.
And so it ended up actually fitting together quite nicely. Another thing that tells me that we were supposed to do this.
And you know, the other thing when it comes to books, you can have different levels of different kind of books that you like, mm-hmm. too. I mean, I really love fantasy, but I also love romances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll read a lot of the nonfiction books that, you know, to help you with your family and your kids. But, you know, they're not my favorites, but I still read them.
Right. Well, speaking of the lead, you know, genre on the little poll on the website that we have, mystery suspense.
Mm, that's good.
Is in the lead. That's and then good. There's, you know, like romance or mm-hmm. no, fantasy, I think, is next. And then romance and general fiction. And, you know, so I think it all depends on the book. Like, we all liked The Believer.
Uh-huh.
And that has a wide variety. I know. We all liked that one. And then, you know, like, we all liked Ashling of Ire, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's great that we can have the difference in opinions. What else? You have a whole list. We really need to get through this.
I'll hurry. I read the one that you gave me, Keeping It Together in a Pull Apart World by Mary Ellen Edmonds, and it's just a quick read. I finished that in less than an hour. Hardcover, maybe 100 pages, and it's
yellow.
Cute. It's got a cute little cover, and it was really good. I can't remember all the exact details because I'm reading another one of hers called Peculiar, so I'm getting the two mixed up because it's by the same author. But it was really good, and I did take notes on it, and unfortunately, as I told the girls, I left my notes at home today, so otherwise I'd give you more details on it. But I do recommend it because I do remember
liking
it.
What is it about? Is it just tips of...
Yes, and it's some great quotes in there. It's written in nonfiction format where it's not like page bullet points or something. It's really good, just talking about how to keep stress under... Oh, it's stress, that's right.
Stress, that's so stress.
That's right. But it's stress management, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and different types of stress and how it affects you and things like that.
Is
so
it something
really
you could read real quick one day when you're just feeling overwhelmed?
When you're stressed.
You want a reminder? You need to hit the reset button?
Yes, it's really good. Then I read 30 Meals in One Day, which is basically a cookbook, but there's some awesome software that goes with that, and it's Deanna something. I can't remember her last name now because I didn't write it down. But really cool, really cool. 30 Meals in One Day or in a Day. I think it's in One Day. It's her website. I think is what it is. But it's really cool. There's the software. If you don't even read the book, the software is worth it. So
do you actually make 30 meals in one day?
Yeah.
Or do you just plan
30
meals
in one day? You make 15 meals in one day, and then you make them bigger. And then you cut them in half and put them in your freezer.
Oh,
so it's not even 30.
Ingenious.
It's not even 30, which is my kind of cooking. And as soon as I buy a freezer, I'm going to try that.
There you go. Well, that sounds good.
Let's see. Then I read the book I gave Shanda for her birthday. Six months later, it's a scrapbooking book. 4x6 scrapbooking, which is awesome, by the way.
Can't wait.
And then Losing It, which is by Melanie Douglas.
Right.
I've read that before, so I skimmed that one, and it's good as usual.
I read it periodically.
Yeah,
it's a good book.
I reread Counting Stars because after talked to Michelle Holmes, I was like, oh, I got to reread that. So I reread it, and it's even better than the first time.
I've been passing that book around to family members and friends.
My sister read it. She loved it.
I know. She has
it's a good book.
A great hit there.
Definitely on the top of my to buy list because it's getting, every time we do these podcasts, it just gets longer and longer.
I know.
I can't keep up with it.
My sister told me with the Counting Stars that she said, you picked the best books to read. I'm like, well, you know, I have to sift through a lot to find the good ones.
Yeah, you do have to sift. It does take reading a couple.
But that one's definitely one to buy and share or find someone who has it.
I would say put it on a Christmas list.
I was just going to say the same thing. This is
definitely
that'll
go on
one.
Our Christmas list. I can promise you that, guys. And then I read Body After Baby, which I started reading it. It was great. And then it turned it into a cookbook. And I'm sorry,
did it really?
Yes. And I just
know how
can't
to cook
get into
healthy
those.
Things.
And I don't mind cooking healthy, but it annoys me because it's always stuff like bok choy or leeks or, you know, things that you just normal people don't eat. I'm sorry. But on a regular basis,
at
I should
least
say.
At home,
on a regular
maybe in
basis.
A restaurant or something.
Yeah, in a restaurant. I mean, leek soup, I've had it and it's good. But you know what? It just drives me crazy.
Have you eaten bok choy, Sheila?
No, it's just making me laugh. I mean, just the examples you chose.
Bok choy and leeks. True, Sam, what's a leek?
Well, a leek
I mean,
is
I know, I know what my husband says a leek is, but it's not what's in the cookbook.
No.
So, and that's
it's
the
a
French
leaky
lady
pipe
diet
in, under the kitchen.
Oh, you know. Yes, except it's spelled different. But anyway. Yeah, so.
Anyway, so.
And then the last one I'm in the process of reading is Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. It was recommended to me by a lady in my ward. And it's not written by an LDS author. She is Christian, though, because she makes Bible references in the book. So I'm looking forward to giving you a more detailed report on
that. That'll be good. Because I've heard about it, but I've never read it.
Going back to Body After Baby, what's the first part about? Is it motivational or
inspirational? It started out, it talked about their company.
It did?
Yes.
So it was a
company. I would say it's more of a plug.
Profit driven kind of a.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And yes, I am.
That's disappointing.
It was very disappointing because I'm like, ooh, some information on how I can lose this belly fat, you know? Nope.
And you have to buy their drug?
buy their system, and I'm like, I can't believe they got
don't
published.
Don't you love that?
I was so annoyed.
When they do things like that.
I'm like, that's totally underhanded if you ask me. But
that's why you get these things from the library first.
Yeah. That's why I don't buy from bookstore unless I've gotten recommendations like
Counting Stars,
or The Believer, things like that, where I just buy it and not even think about it. So.
Yeah, some of those things you never know. That's why I like Body for Life, because you can do their little thing, but they show you how to do it without it.
See, that's nice.
I like Body for Life.
But I have about 10 more books sitting at home, but I haven't, but I'm just trying to get
my pile of books is getting large.
I'm trying to shrink mine. I'm trying to get it under control.
Did you see that big pile?
Like I said, my pile of books is getting larger and larger.
Yeah, that's divide and conquer. We can talk about what books we want to read and see if we can get through them. Okay,
so that's it for me.
That's all of our recent reads. I'm really looking forward to next podcast where we can talk about the Christmas books that we talked a little bit about last year to just quickly revisit those for those people who either got to the podcast after Christmas. Things like The Innkeeper's Wife, Ten Virgins, and there were some other things like
Christmas Stars.
I really want
to talk about that.
Christmas Stars, right? And I really want to get Mr. Finnegan's Giving Chest because I wanted to read that last year.
That looks so cute.
With Dick Van Dyke as the big character.
I would like that.
So I want to go buy that one at least because it just looked so cute. So we'll get we'll get into that next time, and it'll be mid-November-ish when we record that podcast.
It will be perfect timing.
Let's dig in.
Yes, I know. Hillary is about ready to jump out of her seat. We're at the part of the podcast she's been waiting for forever.
Me too.
So. We've been dying. We've been keeping our comments to ourselves because we just really want to share them with you guys. So,
okay, well, the books, of course, that we're talking about are the Twilight series by Stephanie Meyer, Twilight, New Moon, and Eclipse. And the fourth one's coming out next year.
Midnight Sun, is it? No, wait, that's Edward's story. Breaking Dawn? Breaking Dawn.
I think you're right.
Breaking
Dawn. Yeah, see, I don't even know what it's called. They're a little bit more. They've been on the website a lot more than I have. I have visited Stephanie Meyer's website,
StephanieMeyer.com.
Oh, it's a great website. And there are so many websites that
fan,
the fans have dedicated to it. But it's just interesting to see what other people are thinking about.
Oh, I'm sure there's a bunch of fan fiction
already. The thing is, it is just not teenagers that are getting into it. These are married women that
like
are going.
Us.
You know what? Honestly,
you know what? I would love my husband to be a vampire just for one night. Here's
No, I don't care if he's a vampire. I just want him to have the sense of self and confidence.
Yes.
And
I love Edward for that
treasuring that Edward has for Bella.
Oh,
but before
gosh.
We go into that, I want to talk about first of all the style the book is written in, because you were talking about how it's written for young adult teenager.
Well,
but personally, I feel my personal feel is that it's written for
adults.
Women.
Yep,
it's written for us.
I think
for
it is.
You know, 20 and older.
I agree. So. I totally
18
agree.
And older. I'll say 18 and older, but mainly 20 and older.
To be totally honest, I don't think I will let my daughter read this for many, many years. Of course, she's 9 and a half. But I know a lot of people though in the neighborhood that are letting their daughters 12 and up read it. And that's fine.
Well,
you know, but
I don't know how I feel about 12.
I just don't know how my daughter would react to it.
I think I'd do like maybe 15 earliest. Maybe 16.
Hillary?
Yes. Hi. Kimberlyn, my daughter, she's only 8, but she notices that I read this twice in a month, the series twice.
My
and
girls
she says,
noticed it right away.
Yeah, my girls were very, and she's like, well, I want to read it. And I'm like, oh, you know what? And she goes, is it because it's naughty? And I'm like, no.
No.
Is it naughty? That's the first words out of her mouth. Is that why you won't let me read it? I'm like, what do you think I read? My word. I'm like, where are you getting these ideas that I read naughty books or something? Anyway. So,
because she
told
me
I did the other ones. Gosh, did she find them?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Hillary doesn't read naughty books.
I'm kidding. But yeah, so, and I told her it's not because of the content being inappropriate. It's because it's not age appropriate.
I don't think
she wouldn't understand.
She's not going to get it.
She
barely gets Harry Potter.
She doesn't have the capacity to understand.
And this is a very emotional book.
Oh, very.
Talking about feelings.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why, exactly. And that's why there's three S words.
Yep.
The sensual.
Woohoo.
You savor this. And the silkiness.
Ooh,
of
that's a good word for it.
Well, she uses that his voice is silky.
Oh, she does,
silky.
Doesn't she?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Mary's voice suddenly got silky.
But notice, I did not say sexy.
No, I don't.
This is not a sexy Mm-mm. book. It's Mm. sensual. And you know, just
sensual
some
things, is the best word for it.
I hope she continues that.
I
in
do
book
too.
Four,
that's what makes this so appealing.
Before we get into that,
yes,
we've been talking a little bit about age appropriateness, and there's some, there's a few, but there are some LDS readers who have shown a little bit of concern for what they call the raciness of this book. I want to qualify that statement.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Or talk about it just briefly. Honestly, my parents had no idea the kind of books I read.
I know what kind of books Shanda read, though.
honestly, when you're that young, are you curious? You're curious.
Of course you are. We're teenagers.
I read all different levels of Harlequin.
Shanda and I read our fair share of Harlequins. Both of us did. We traded them.
It's a world you don't know anything about.
Yep.
And you know why? Intrigued. Because my parents never talked to me about it. If you have that kind of dialogue with your child that you can have, something like this, appropriateness and inappropriateness and things that are in a book that things are not in real life, that you wouldn't do, like obviously you wouldn't let your daughter
have her boyfriend
in her
sleep
room
over
every night. You know, that's something. But if your daughter is mature enough to understand that this is character, that these are not LDS character books or LDS characters in the book, they are not members of the church. They don't have the same standards as we do as members of
the
LDS church.
Although Edward surprised me.
Well, and I think that's great. If you can find a guy who has the self-control and respect for the woman that Edward has for Bella,
that he wants to wait,
that's
to
something you want to encourage.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
So
I love it.
Yeah, frankly, with the level of books that I was reading
at age
15, 16, 17, if they had books like
this, exceptionally tame.
These are the kind of books that I would prefer of reading. I really didn't care about the intimacy in some of these books I was reading. I didn't care about that. I wanted the almost touch, mm-hmm. the treasuring. It had nothing to do with the acts that were performed. So, yes, this is kind of a blunt podcast. So if you're listening
with children
that might be curious, then you may want to save this for a time when they're in bed or something. But anyway, it has something that has come up. So I kind of wanted to address that first before we go into the discussion of the book, because it is a serious thing that you have to consider when you have teenage children, teenage young
daughters,
girls that are going to be reading this.
And I think the big controversy where it came from is the fact that Stephanie Meyer is LDS. LDS.
And we are
She is a graduate from BYU, mm-hmm. and she had a degree in English literature. I'm just reading from the back cover. She lives in Arizona. She has 3 young sons.
But frankly, being LDS myself, and active and faithful LDS, that if I were to write a romance book, this is the level I would want to write
Amen.
At.
Amen.
Me too.
Yes.
Where there's,
I would too.
You know,
yes.
I don't know if I'd have them be in the same bed every night, even though nothing happens, but.
Well, he doesn't sleep.
No, he just
he
doesn't
never
sleep. He's always awake.
He just lays there and listens to her talking in her sleep.
Which is funny, actually.
Yes. But I would want there to be the almost touches, the almost, you know, the longing looks, and nothing to do with the physical acts of love.
I love when he just.
Or not nothing, but, you know,
reaches
not centered
up
on the physical.
And strokes her cheek.
Just gently. It's just the treasuring. That's what I really like. The treasuring.
The look
of,
in his eyes
of
when
her.
He looks at her.
You don't have to do anything to have it be sweet and get your heart racing just a little bit.
I mean, how often does that happen in our hectic lives with our husband running through the door and you're running here?
Or even
here
not even in the
just,
same city as you.
Exactly. I mean, that you could just look in each other's eyes and go,
yeah, I mean,
you
when,
know?
He, when he gets home from the airport and we give that first little, oh, I missed you kiss. It's nothing passionate.
You know what? Maybe
there's
I should send my husband away for a while.
I know. I'm like, I need to send my
away
husband away.
Like, you can come back and I can miss you.
I can tell you, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Especially when it's like, he was giving me a foot massage last night and I was like, oh, I missed you.
See, that is more intense than anything in this book.
I know. I love that. I mean, you know, he's just, you know, my feet are all moisturized and relaxed. And
that sounds nice.
Okay. Yeah. Just a little side note here, and you'll have to forgive me. Good Things Utah had at Table Talk, they were talking about how women prefer to kiss versus how men prefer to kiss. Did you see that one?
I didn't.
What did they
say? What did they say?
Men prefer the more passionate, open mouth, wet tongue kisses, okay? Because they kiss to lead to something else.
Exactly.
Yes,
women,
that's true.
Women prefer the tender, closed mouth smooches.
I cherish your kiss.
That's...
Yes, exactly.
And I said, you know how women like to cuddle.
Yes.
And men like other things. That tender smooches are like the cuddles of kisses. You know,
that's
like
a good way to put it.
Kiss cuddling. You know,
I like
where
that.
There isn't that because of what, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We know
what we're trying to say.
Because I always
here.
Wondered, I'm like, you know, my husband likes more passionate kisses and I'm I like to just, you know, give nice little cute little corner of the mouth smooches, you know, and just little smooches, you know. And, you know, Sheila's laughing. But it's just something, it's because, you know, I just don't feel like every kiss has to go that distance.
No, and that's not the only reason why you should be kissing.
So, you know, but anyway,
I'd be afraid to kiss my husband if every time
it led to somewhere. Those tender little smooches can lead to something else. But anyway, so I really think that you can do intimacy in a very
tasteful
and even chaste with, but still exciting way.
I think so. And I think she definitely
pretty much nailed it. So
I think she did nail it completely.
There is a line in the book that describes how I feel about her series.
Okay.
Where she tells Edward, "You dazzle me."
Yeah. That's right.
These books dazzle me. Was I dazzling? When he says to her, "Was I dazzling?"
You were a little giddy.
I just love that. I don't know why.
You dazzle me. Well, there's just certain words. She made her skin sparkle.
Oh,
in the sun.
I know. I absolutely love that.
You know what? I think that should just be limited to the vampires that don't drink human blood.
Oh, that's true.
That's an interesting idea.
Because it's a good, nice, fun.
But you know, she already glitters. You know? That won't work though, because she already talked about the Volturi and how they don't allow.
I know. I'm just saying that it would be. It's such a nice little thing that I.
But it is kind of cool if you think about it. But they have the gold eyes instead of the red eyes.
Yes, yep, that's true. They do.
That's the difference.
And if you look on her website, she shows her possible covers that she was going to put. Because originally she was going to call it Forks. Yes. Which I'm so glad she did.
Oh, I know. She says she still prefers that, but
I don't like Forks as a title. But on the cover, it has his eyes, and you can tell that those are Edward's eyes. I'm sorry.
Oh, really? I'll
have to check it out. Look at it and you go, those are Edward's eyes. And they're not, I thought the way I visualized it isn't the same, but I like the way she did it.
I think it's good. That website is so wonderful.
It's very,
and you're going to every direction.
Well, we kind of talked about style. It's in third person, and it is mainly from Bella's point of view.
It's like it's Bella's point of view.
Yes.
In first person.
Right. Oh, first person.
Yeah, it's first person.
You know what I mean. I mean first person.
I know,
Hillary's
speaking.
Sorry. I'm tired.
I could have sworn it was first person.
In my mind, I said first person. But my mouth said there is
that's okay. What you mean.
First person from Bella's point of view.
Which is awesome.
And
I like her.
She's kind of down to earth. She's a little klutzy.
I can so relate to this. I've always been klutzy. You know, my brothers used to say, Mom and Dad should have named you Grace. So I can relate to her klutziness.
I won the Klutz Award in ninth grade.
Oh,
this
did you?
This is why we
did
all
you remember? Because I slipped and
I probably
fell in the girls' locker room and broke my elbow. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that.
And then
that.
James Ice, I better not say his last name, sent a rumor out that I slipped and fell in the girls' toilet.
Oh,
and that's what he did. So I wonder why I won the award.
That's funny.
Thank you, James, if you're listening.
Like, but he's probably not.
But
yeah, I always say he probably never.
Maybe his wife is. Sorry. Anyway, so yeah, but moving on to the characters.
Yes.
We talked about Edward just briefly, and you know he has the golden eyes. He can sparkle in the sun, which you know that meadow scene where
she sees, that's
one of those where. You know,
so wonderful.
Until Laurent
shows up. If you worry about...
Well, that's the second
book.
Third book. No, that's at the end of the first book. It's when they're playing baseball with the family.
Well, right. That's when they meet, but I mean in the meadow the second
time.
Oh,
I see what you're saying.
No, the first meadow
one. The first meadow
when
one.
When he takes her to
the
meadow that he likes to go to when he wants to be alone. And she sees that his skin sparkles.
So cool.
And, you know, there's some relationship oriented intimacy there, and there's you know, like a touching of face and a little bit of kissing, but that's, you know, there isn't anything.
Here's another word, electricity.
Yeah,
I love the word she chooses, and she's writing here, you know, the dazzling, the electricity. I mean, it just it totally describes.
Well, and without reading the book, it's hard to, you're like, oh, sounds kind of cliche or whatever, but it really is. That's really the best way to describe it.
It's not cliche.
It's not cliche. No, it's just
this is the least cliche book I've ever. I think. Ever read. And you know how I feel about series. Mm-hmm. I've been very clear, I think, on that.
Yes, you have.
And what's interesting. Yes, you have. What's interesting to me is these books sort of, no, I don't think they can stand alone, but I don't care.
Exactly.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's okay that they
if you look at
dependent
it and
on one of the
yeah,
other.
If you put all three of them together and you realize how thick one book would be, you know, I couldn't care less that you have to read one after another. And it's the first series I've ever read that I do not care that it's a series.
Congratulations, Stephanie.
Yes,
you have really done something.
You've accomplished something
here.
Big there.
Yep, that's a big thing.
No, I have to tell you that I'm glad I didn't know this series existed until after Eclipse came out.
Because yes, I would have had a hard time.
I went and I bought them. I read the one from the library that, you know.
I talked her into reading it because she had a fine.
I was overdue and I already had the fine, so she said, just read it. But
like, you've already got the fine.
I picked up the three at Costco.
Which I did too.
One day, just so I could have them. Just so I could have them to read them, and I flew through them.
Yep. So we have all three bought the books.
Which is a first.
That should really tell listeners something.
Mm-hmm. They've never done that before.
Especially considering that two of us have hesitancies when we heard vampire. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Well, I know when Sheila says vampires, I'm thinking, oh, great fantasy. No, thank you.
But you know
what? This is great. This is like reality, not fantasy.
I would not call this fantasy.
I have to be totally honest. I have never read another vampire book until now. Which is really amazing
because
there's a lot of vampire books out there. So I just kind of went onto the library website. And I don't like the gory
stuff. You say vampire, and that's your automatic association is gore and fangs and
see, I was hesitant Dracula also, kind of thing. But it was just people just giving me little tidbits here and there about what the book was truly about.
Oh, and you know what? She makes it seem like vampires really could live among us. And it kind of makes you wonder. You're like, oh, he's too pretty. Oh,
he's elegant. He is elegant. That is another
elegant.
Word. She Elegant's talks about his elegant handwriting. But I think a lot of that is because of how old they are and how long he was born at a time.
When chivalry and nobility and honor were still a part of life.
Exactly.
And, his story of how he came to be when Carlyle found, it was treating his mother and she said, save my son. And he was going to die anyway. There was no way
back in
1917 that he could save Edward's life.
Well, let's talk about Carlyle for a minute.
Yeah, let's do talk about Carlyle.
He's fascinating.
I like him. I like him a lot.
I think he's wonderful.
Carlyle is one of my favorites. Esme. I like Esme,
I like
too.
Esme.
Esme's so sweet. Well, Alice, too.
Carlyle and Esme are vampires that...
Place the mother and father figure.
Play as a mother and father figure. And Alice and Jasper.
Emmett
and Rosalie. And Edward.
That's it.
They are their quote-unquote adopted children.
But they all look
Carlyle
the same age.
And Esme are like, they look 30. And
he looks younger than that because he was only 23 when he was turned.
Oh, that's right.
He tells people he's 30.
And then he...
But if you haven't read it, you need to know that they don't age.
They've adopted these teenage kids. But, I have to tell you, though, that the fact that he does what he does fascinated me. He's a doctor. He works in the emergency room. He sees
blood
constantly. And the fact that he has... See, he never, as far as I could tell in the story, and I could be wrong, but as far as I know, he never dined on human blood.
No, he didn't.
He hated what he had become. He despised it. And he tried to kill himself a bunch of times.
Yeah, I'm trying to think because I just read
that a little while ago. But as far as I know, he refused to give in to what he
had. And he's been alive, if you count from when he was created,
1600s. 400 years or something like that.
300 and some odd years.
And over that time, and in that time, from what I remember in my reading, he refused to give in to the cravings and urges he had to dine on human blood.
It was finally deer that he...
Yeah, he had to eat something.
He finally had to eat something.
And so he went to... And so
that's when
he started this different vampire group.
Vegetarian lifestyle.
Quote unquote vegetarian that did not dine on human blood. I think the whole theme of that, where you
He fascinates
are,
me.
You
he
are
did.
In... He rose above his circumstances.
Well...
Even though it's an unrealistic vampire circumstance. It just shows that... You can be born or put into a certain situation and you don't have to give in and be like that stereotype.
Exactly.
You can rise above and you can persist and make and be something different.
I found something to go right with that quote.
Okay.
This is from the book, page 337.
Which book?
Twilight.
This is Twilight we're talking about. Talking about Carlyle after he found the herd of deer and he attacked them because he needed something because he was very hungry and very weak. But he said... Over the next months, his new philosophy was born. He could exist without being a demon. He found himself again. He began to make better use of his time. And that's when his whole idea of not having to feast on humans, but to feast on animals.
Right. But and the moral or ethical war that he went through with himself on whether to make somebody else like him was difficult. I mean, he really warred within himself about whether to create another being like him. Mm-hmm. Because there's no guarantee that they're going to choose his lifestyle.
No.
But like when he saved Edward, Edward was going to die anyway. There was, so
and he had
was,
no one left. Quote,
and
no
he happened. Had an attachment
and he was alone.
To his parents too, to Edward's parents.
Well, wasn't Esme the first one?
No. He turned
Edward
first and then Esme.
Edward first, okay. And then it was Esme.
Well, because he created Esme with thoughts for having her for Edward, I thought, if I remember right.
No, that was Rosalie.
That was Rosalie. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. We'll talk about Rosalie in a minute, but...
Yeah.
Because she's interesting too.
So I really thought that that was something that was quite amazing. I think the next character I want to talk about briefly is Rosalie. Let's look at Rosalie and Alice and the contrast between the two of them.
I love Alice.
Alice is a sweetheart. Oh. And she was the one that at first she couldn't remember life before she became a vampire. She had no memory of her previous
life.
And
in book three that comes out.
And unfortunately,
it is sad. It's very sad.
But then on the other hand, Rosalie. Actually, it's in book one. It's at the end of book one, isn't it?
No, it's not in book one. About Alice, it's not in book one because James hints at something at the end of book one.
Anyway,
I'm getting all three mixed in.
I know
that's the problem.
You do get them all mixed.
But I want to talk about the contrast between Rosalie and Alice. Rosalie loved her previous life. She had all of these plans. She was going to be, you know, rich and famous. She was engaged to someone that was rich. But she was envious, and then he was the one that ended up. The one that she was engaged to, he was the one that ended up taking advantage of her.
I found what page? It's towards the end, about 457. In book one, she talks about how James tricked her to, and then he talks about James is talking about how he went and killed her caregiver. I think he was his caregiver, but he put it on the video that he was recording when he was trying to kill Bella.
That's how Alice found out. That's the movie that he put together. Anyway, Rosalie tells when she approaches Bella when Edward's out of town and Bella's staying at their home.
And Bella's scared.
Rosalie comes in and she tells her, and I haven't liked her in the first three books.
I haven't liked her not at all. Even near the end when she was starting to kind of warm up a bit, sharing her story, I had no real sympathy for her. But once you hear her story, you can understand why someone as vain as her would have such a hard time with this.
Her relationship with Edward bugs me that she expected. She's jealous of her and Bella. She's gorgeous.
But her whole life revolved around her beauty. Her whole life prior revolved around her beauty.
So why would Edward, based on his characteristics, why would he want to be with Rosalie when he wants something with depth? Because you get that feeling from him.
But, you know, you see it in the media and different things like that. I've never personally come across it. Exactly. But you know, people who are their image, they're so image conscious and that comes first and they don't see how they feel like their beauty and their image can pretty much get them whatever they want. And they don't see why it shouldn't work because it's very important to them.
And that's how she was.
And that's how, you know, she just felt like she could get anything she wanted because of her beauty and how she looked. And it should just work.
Now her story is
sad,
though.
And then when their image starts to fade.
Does Rosalie have any special gifts? It seems like everyone carried into the vampire life a special gift because, you know, Jasper's is to make everyone calm.
Yeah, he can.
Well, he can change the feelings in the room.
Right, right. And, you know, Alice's is to look ahead into the future.
Well, she gets images of people she knows.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Edward's, he's able to hear what
Bella's.
Emmett's. What's Emmett's gift?
He's extra strong.
That's right, just his strength. That's what I was trying to figure out. Does Rosalie have any special gifts?
I honestly don't remember. I don't recall anything.
I don't think she does.
I'm interested to see if Bella becomes a vampire. Special gift will be.
It's got to be something to do with her being able to block.
Well, the thing is, if you think about it, you know, her and Alice talk about that, and I think it's the third book.
That's an interesting
when they talk about how. The Volturi can't access her brain.
Right, right.
Because she can't be affected by pain like that one Jane girl.
Jane can inflict pain, make you think you're in pain. And it frustrates Jane that she can't get into Bella's head.
It doesn't work on Bella because it's a mental pain. It's not real physical pain. You just think you're in pain.
But Jasper can calm her, though.
Yeah, but that's because it's a physical...
But that's a physical thing. It's not a mental thing.
It's the mental things that people can't do. And the reason why Alice can see... things with Bella in it is because it's environmental.
Yes. Yes.
So the environmental and the physical, Bella can't block, but the mental things she can. So it makes me wonder.
I'm very curious.
You know, I loved Alice just because she was so accepting of Bella and Edward's relationship from the beginning. But it's because she loves Edward. I mean, she loves Edward as a true brother.
Yep.
And all of them. And Esme even said that she wanted Edward to be happy because Alice and Jasper had each other and Rosalie and Emmett had each other. And of course, you know, Esme and Carlisle had each other and Edward had always been out on his own. Mm-hmm. And so that's why she was so happy when Edward found Bella because she could see, they could see how much
Esme and Carlisle were together. Could see that too. Now, one thing that's just interested me is how their characteristics carry over after they're changed.
Right.
And we're told that, I mean, this is kind of a weird correlation. You'll have to forgive me for this, but it occurred to me how their little, the character, personality, and spirit carried over after, and so will ours when we pass away.
But you have to realize
and when a we lot die, of that, yep. quote unquote, die, yep. our same passions mm-hmm. and weaknesses and characteristics will still be with us.
We just won't afterwards. Be thirsty.
Her LDS blood. Sense.
We won't, yeah, be, we won't after, be thirsty. We won't be blood, after yeah. blood. And I know I said forgive me for the interesting correlation, but it is
but no, that is an interesting correlation.
So maybe that's why she used that.
Who knows? But it is interesting.
Okay, before we even leave this idea, I should have brought this up before when we were talking about the title of the book. I just want to talk about this just because the twilight, why... Do you remember what it says about twilight?
It's in there.
It's on page 237. He turns to her and he says, it's twilight. It's the safest time of day for us. That's the easiest up. Time, but also the saddest in a way. The end of another day, the return of the night. Darkness is so predictable.
I like that.
I just thought, and you know why it's the easiest time of the day for all of them. Because with the sunlight.
With the sun down, they can come out.
Right.
And there's no sparkling.
Exactly.
Even if it's a sunny day at twilight, they can come out.
But
I'd be comfortable amongst themselves.
You know what I like about this? Because we all know all of the different ideas about vampires. You know, that you can kill them this way or kill them that way. Or they sleep in coffins. You know, yeah. I love when
and
Bella walks
throws
to their
off
house.
All of that.
I don't see any coffins. You know, she's looking for the coffins. But I love that she doesn't have those stereotypical vampire
right.
things
she
happening
She does it different.
Here.
Even with the Volturi and the traditional,
yes.
quote-unquote, vampires.
Yes.
That you don't really see that. Now, I have to comment on how intense that little the end of Eclipse or... No, Twilight was with James and the tracker.
Gosh.
Oh my
that
goodness.
Is so good.
I was sitting there in so suspense, good. Turning pages so fast.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then when he tricked her and everything, I was like,
you're like,
oh.
No.
Because seriously, you know,
she was by she herself. And you're like, she's
don't
toast.
Go by yourself.
I wouldn't
go
have
by
left.
Yourself.
I'm sorry. I would have been a chicken.
I know. But she really, you know, she worried about Renee, her mother. And, you know, just real quickly, the interesting, there's been some comments about how they don't like how the parents are so disconnected. But it's
the
also
parents,
been talked about. It is a literary tool. The main character needs to be put by themselves to solve this conflict by themselves.
So
that's
me
why
again
the parents
what people
are
saying.
Separate. Well,
I
they don't like how disconnected. You know, the Charlie's not really a big part
but
of life.
But excuse me,
call
think
dad,
about this people
like
out here.
The mom's off in her own little
let me,
world.
Let me give some ideas in here. This is not your typical happy married LDS couple that are together. They are a divorced couple. They haven't been together for years. Mm-hmm. She left when Bella was a year mm-hmm. old. Charlie's been off by himself. He only mm-hmm. sees her for what, a few weeks during the summer. So come on.
Yeah, I kind of didn't like the Bella thing. I didn't like how morose, the typical morose, depressed, rebel, like, I don't like anything teenager image. But she's kind of evolved beyond that.
She was a sarcastic one.
She does it to
she
protect
just,
herself.
She did it totally.
Right, right. And I can understand
so
that
I,
to a certain degree.
I kind of yeah. have to disagree with people that are saying their parents are. I mean, come on.
Well, they have
Renee's
literally.
Very
the story would not be. The literally, in order for there to be the conflict and resolution that needs to happen in the story. It's a literary tool, and I can't remember what it's called.
Know.
But
not
you
only
have
that,
to disconnect the main character to put the, to isolate. It's called isolating.
Not only that, but Stephanie Meyer makes it a very good way of doing that because she puts that disconnect in there so that for Bella to become a vampire, it's not going to be this really devastating. I'm leaving my parents. Oh no!
Right. Although she's worried
tending.
About Charlie.
She
is.
She's worried
she
about
herself.
Him, but
she
she's
loves
not.
Her. She loves her parents. She really does care about her parents.
But it's not that intrinsic, deep love that you see in LDS fiction, or we talk about in the church where families are very tight knit and so forth.
Well, even
her families
like
not.
That, they're still sometimes
and there still are disconnection,
exactly.
and you
not
are
all
living
families
proof of
are
that.
Close.
So you know, it's just even though in a lot of it can be image or whatever,
but she
but
uses it literally as a point to literal right.
literarily.
I'm trying to think of the word.
Literarily,
to set up. Like, oh, I don't know how to say that. to kind of foretell. Yeah. There we go. To foreshadow in, events to come, so that it's
exactly.
a little bit more transitional, I think.
Yeah, you know, it is. We are already over an hour in this podcast, and
we haven't talked about
we
Twilight.
We haven't even
as
gotten
much.
To Jacob.
We
or
have to say something
about
Jacob.
Yes, no, Jacob. He is in book one, and it's
a little
you know
bit.
You can tell there's a little bit of setting up for something.
He's starting to like Bella,
but it's what happens in book two that really brings Jacob into the story. And
what did you think about Jacob?
I mean, I like Jacob. It really intrigued me when he was saying he was afraid and all these guys are changing and mm-hmm. about Sam Ely and mm-hmm. all that stuff.
With
and
the
then,
werewolves.
And then suddenly he's cut off from Bella. He won't see her. Now, I do have a bone to pick about the relationship.
I agree.
I am I don't, and it's good writing if it brings up this kind of
emotion and feelings about it.
That, yes. I'm like, okay, first of all, they got along really well and they connected, and she never wanted any kind of a relationship with Jacob, but he obviously, and was very open with her that he wanted a relationship with her, a romantic relationship. Okay. She saw him as a friend. Now, as they developed over that summer that Edward was gone,
their relationship
developed. She began to lean on him. He brought her out of her depression. She became to depend on him.
Very true.
To bring her out of the depression. However, it was later when she realized the depth of her feelings for him.
Which annoyed me.
But the thing is, she clearly, absolutely, completely loves Edward. She is physically dependent on him as far as, you know, like, I mean, even...
To live.
Now, the one thing that I was disappointed with is in book two when he's not there around as much, and when Edward's not around as much, and she's trying all these daredevil things to bring his voice into her head, and it wasn't really him. She really was being delusional. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, come on. I really wanted that to be... Somehow he was finding a way to still be connected to her. But it was all in her own head. All of it was in her own head. And I was like, oh, why would you do crazy things like jump off of a cliff into the sea? And, you know, all those things. I would say...
because it's fun.
Boy, I would. Anyway, I thought that was very intense and very good when Alice just saw her jump off the cliff.
No water.
She did not see... what happened to Bella after, because Jacob came on the scene. Werewolves, Alice cannot see
the werewolves
or situations involving werewolves. And so she can't see the outcomes of things. So she only saw that Bella jumped off the cliff.
And it was also things on the reservation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She can't see, right?
Well, because that's where all the werewolves are.
Right. But I'm just thinking, is it necessarily just the werewolves she can't see? Or is it just what happens on the reservation?
That's because that's where the werewolves are, is on the reservation.
Well, I know, but... Okay, go ahead, Helen.
I have such a comment. I have a bone to pick, too.
Go for it.
Bella is incredibly intelligent. Like, some of her comments are so...
She's very deep.
Very, very deep. It's like she says at the beginning, her mother says that she's a 35-year-old stuck in an 18-year-old body or something like that. Mm-hmm. But what bugs me is it takes her forever to figure out Jake is a werewolf. I'm like, oh, I figured it out.
I know.
I'm like, she's so stinking smart, and she can't figure that out. Well, I was so irritated by that.
She was afraid of what was going to happen, and then he cut his hair a certain way. And
to me, it was blatantly obvious.
Now, did he want her? Now, Jacob wants her as his mate.
Yes.
Now, remember what they said that they choose someone
that imprinting.
It doesn't happen to everyone.
Okay.
It doesn't happen to all the werewolves. It's just that they'll come across someone, like the one werewolf imprinted on the 2 or 3 year old.
Exactly.
But they don't age as fast either. Mm-hmm. The werewolves don't. Mm-hmm. So even though he's imprinted, and it doesn't necessarily have to be
romantic.
Romantic.
No,
that it's just was interesting
companion
too.
Wise. Mm-hmm. He imprinted with this, mm-hmm. you know, he is her big brother is what it is.
I know. At first I'm like, ew. And then she explains that I'm like,
it's
okay.
It's not
creepy love affair with a 2 year old.
No. It just has to do with companionship and protectorate is what I want. Protectorate thing.
Right.
And so he's like a big brother to this girl. And maybe when she gets older and it's appropriate,
then something could happen.
There's another romantic. But that hasn't happened with Jacob. What I really, really didn't like was in the third book, that kissing scene in outside the tent.
Oh, that made me so mad.
Okay, Edward goes off in his own little place and she kisses Jacob. Well, he kisses her.
Yeah, he was trying to push him away.
She didn't want to do it, but then found herself for, you know, kissing him back.
That annoyed me.
And then she felt so guilty afterwards. And to me, in my mind, it's just absolute.
Yeah, she should have felt guilty too.
You know, yes. And it's good. But Edward was so gracious about it.
I love and I think Edward it's because and Jacob's scene in the tent.
Yes, that was good.
He knows that she...
We should go there.
Yeah, that's he good. Knows that she really does love him. You know?
No,
I love how we've moved from the style of the book to the characters to the story so seamlessly. Now we're into the story.
That's
true. We talked about the characters. Now we're into the story.
I love that part in the tent.
The meat of the story.
Says you are bizarrely moral for a vampire. I mean, seriously. I mean, and something else where she's talking about Edward says he's even more unbelievable behind the face. The vampire who wanted to be good, who ran around saving people's lives so he wouldn't be a monster.
Yeah. I thought that was a good way for him to quench the thirst, so to speak. I'm like, because then I think about, well, what would I be like if I were a vampire? You know, of course, because brain, you know.
Yeah, what would just it be for fun? Like?
Or, you know, if vampires can take the sacrament. Like,
I think you should really tell what that's
just briefly. Okay, I'll explain she needs to explain that comment.
I'll explain. I was sleeping, and my husband, I tend to talk in my sleep, not as much as Bella, mind you, but every now and then, and I guess when I woke up, my husband said to me that he asked me if what I had against the bishop, and I said, nothing. And he says, well, you were sure yelling at him because you were demanding to know why vampires couldn't take the sacrament. I'm like, well, I'm curious, can they?
No. It would depend on what kind of vampire you are.
Vegetarian or not? But
no, I don't know. I thought the dreams. You must have just finished reading the series.
I was still reading him. I was in like book three, I think, at the time. Yeah, for the second time reading through. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. The things we dream.
Yes. Anyway,
so, yes, you're intently reading. Are you looking for a certain part?
You just said to go back and read the part in the tent.
I want that part in the tent. It's so
I'm
funny.
I'm actually reading the after part.
Which part in the tent exactly?
Oh,
are you
I love it when
about?
They're like, when they confronted each other after the kiss.
They think that Bella.
Or was it before?
No, before this Bella. While Bella's sleeping. That's
they think she's so cold.
Well, Edward can read.
Jacob's thoughts.
Yes, he can. And no, that's what I'm reading.
What's so funny.
That's how he knows. Yeah. Well, the thing is that what made me frustrated was she's trying to push him away, and Jake took it as passion.
Yes, that irritated
and
me.
And so he pushed even further. And I think because he pushed even further, that made it harder for her. Maybe she felt like
just give in
to,
and
you
get
know.
Over
and
right
I didn't like that. I don't like it when people push.
I don't either.
I hate that.
Wanted to smack him.
I know.
I did. I really wanted to smack him.
No, I'm actually reading the part afterwards, after Jacob had left and Edward came back and she was so guilty about the kiss and he's telling her it's okay. Mm-hmm. And just says, I can be noble, Bella. I'm not going to make you choose between us. Just be happy. This is from Eclipse, the third book. You can have whatever part of me you want or none at all if that's better. Don't let any debt you feel you owe me influence your decision. And then she says something really naughty. She swears, you stole them. You don't understand. I'm not just trying to make you feel better, Bella. I really mean it. I know you do. And then she says, what happened to fighting back? I mean, she's wanting him to fight back. And he's wanting
her to
make that decision.
She's wanting him to help her. Feel
yeah.
guilty. He wants
I
her
know,
to,
but
him
he's
to punish
not
her. Then
she
can get, he's like, well, no, you yeah. have the right to choose.
I know
you,
he's not going
to
do that.
I just
that.
Want you to be happy. You know.
I know.
And yet, see, this is where I have the problem. Jake's pushy. Edward's not. I'm going to go with the guy who's not pushy.
I know.
You know, that's.
I know.
Plus,
maybe
I see,
that's why I
see
my husband.
I see Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob's more of a brother to me. Like in the whole book, and then you get into book three, and I'm going, okay, I'm annoyed.
He didn't seem like a brother to me at all because, from her point of view, yes, I could see how she saw him more like I just don't see him as a brother. As a friend, definitely.
A friend. Well, that's how I view a brother, though.
But
I view
you could
a brother
tell
a
from
friend.
The beach in book one that he
well,
was
yeah.
interested.
No, I'm saying from Bella's perspective. Up until mm-hmm. that scene where, well, she knew how he felt about her,
she
was trying to keep that separate. And to have him push it like that really irritated mm-hmm. me.
Well,
he wouldn't take the hint. It's like he would not give mm-hmm. it up. And
I'm
it's
trying
like she's
to understand
in love with Edward.
Why
let it go.
Why she this. Feels like, I mean, she just calls him her son, her own personal son. S-U-N, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking how, I guess I'm really
he's
kind
too
of
moody
trying
to
understand
to
how.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost seems like the feelings that Bella has for Jake are forced.
Mm. That's a good way to
put
it.
From a literary point of view too, maybe Stephanie tried a little too hard on that part, in my opinion, mm. in my opinion only, that of trying to kind of push Bella into feeling feelings for Jake that she doesn't really feel. Make it seem like it's more than it is for
But you could
reasons.
See why
I mean,
it
maybe
happened.
Her editor
I don't know. I can see
I
why
know.
You could see it happening just but. Because she spent all that time with just Jacob exclusively when Edward wasn't there.
But even
so, you could see it have happening, and you'd get confused. I mean, I saw her more just being very confused by it because mm-hmm. Jacob had qualities that she really liked, but on the other hand, she's so totally her soul is so totally devoted to Edward. I mean, and it's the thing that we've talked about. So she's so drawn to him.
To me, it's
part
like the
of
chicken
her breathing.
And the pig. You know, when it comes to my relationship, I'm the pig. You know, I'm totally, completely committed.
And, see,
and there's no option in my mind for anything else.
See,
I mean,
but
it's
you
when
probably,
I pick, that's it.
You've probably never had that experience since you guys got married so young. But you never dated two guys at the same time
trying to pick.
Where you were so drawn to both of them for different reasons. See, did you guys ever have experience?
My husband's only the second guy I ever dated, the first man I ever kissed. I don't have any experience.
So this is what this
I
is
never
where,
dated anyone concurrently. Sorry.
This is where you can't see where this is coming from. I had that experience before where I was dating two different guys at the same time that I really, really liked. I could have married either one. I kind of felt like I was in love with both of them at the same time for different reasons, and you're drawn to him. And so I could see that. So I see, to me, this is very believable. I can see this.
Right.
I can see why she's having, but at the same time, her heart and soul is with Edward. There's just no doubt in my mind whatsoever that that's who
she'll
end up
with. And she wants to be a vampire, and she wants to be with him. And there has to kind of be that little love triangle for there to be a little bit of conflict and everything. But just to me, it seems at points that where Bella's feelings for Jake can, she can acknowledge them and they can exist, but she doesn't have to be even torn by them.
Right, right.
Yet in the books, she is. And it just seems like, in my mind, it doesn't really have to be that way. There can still be that love triangle without it being so seemingly forced in Bella's
court.
You know, on Bella's side, forced to seem like she has feelings for Jake. I mean, you see, you can have the feelings, but it just seems like romantically it seems forced. Yeah, it
did. I have to agree with you to a point, because it did seem like, especially in that, when they're getting ready to fight the newborns, that
That was pretty.
That was intense.
That was very intense.
You know what? I have never read a scene, just real quick, read a scene that was not directly involved, that you were not reading the direct events, where it was so dang suspenseful.
Oh, yes.
There was nothing going on. Seth was getting upset, and, you know, Edward could hear what was going on, and Jacob could hear what was going on. And then this fight was happening, and Bella and Edward and Seth were, and for a short time, Jake were removed from it. Yet the suspense from the fight was almost as if you were there.
Because you know that Edward can think it and Jacob can hear it.
And especially when Seth was like, or when Edward told Seth, go, go.
Yeah, and you're like, why? And
like, oh, what, where?
Like, what happened? What happened?
And then Victoria shows up.
Ooh, she's just scary.
Riley.
I know. I thought I could have chuckled when I read that. But
the spelling's different than my son's spelling. So my son's name's spelling.
No. I think Stephanie is so good with the suspense.
Oh, she's a pro.
No, I thought that part about the describing the ripping apart of the vampires was a little bit
graphic.
It wasn't like blood or anything, because there's no blood when you're a vampire unless it's
in your stomach. I think that's how she got away with it, though. I think that's how she got away with it without making it a graphic book because of how the vampires are destroyed.
Yeah, but let's just say that I'll probably read that part or skip it, that little section.
Next time
I go through. Yeah, just because I'm like, you know, it's just, yeah. It's
not your favorite part.
Yeah. I'm not into, like, ripping apart things.
That part leads me to my next question. What about the Volturi?
Well, they're definitely coming about next book.
Oh, they'll be there. But do you think that there's maybe there was a little bit of a hint towards animosity between the Collins and
of course, because of their philosophy.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
but
they don't want them to.
I mean, I wonder if it's a power issue.
Hey, this is what here's something that occurred to me just now. I read recently a quote. Basically, I think it was in relation to talking about the Mitt Romney thing and the religion, how he's running for president, and then those who don't want a Mormon for president and say we're not Christians and whatever. Well, the problem that we're facing, it was in here, in Hidden Light, the Millennial Glory series, there was a quote talking about, and I'm just going to quickly talk about it, how just simply by being LDS, we are held under a more intense microscope because of our higher standards, because they exist in the first place. So we are judged at a higher level of expectation, and people historically have thought ourselves better than everybody else simply because we didn't partake in the same things we partake. Even if we don't think we are, people put it on us that we think we are.
That's true.
No, because we don't drink, they automatically think we look down on people who drink just because we choose not to. Well, the Collins choose not to indulge in the lifestyle that the Volturi
do.
That's
a good,
interesting
maybe
analogy.
The Volturi kind of resent the Collins thinking they're better than the Volturi.
That's interesting. That whole
because
scene with them. Because
they hold themselves in a different standard.
That whole scene with them was so intense.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
And that's with Edward. I just thought Edward's
because you don't know
die.
What's going to happen.
You know, it was just.
Oh, I thought for sure they were going to kill Bella right there, too. I'm like, there's blood right there.
Well, and you know they're going to come back. They already did. You know, make sure that Bella's really going
and
to
they
turn.
Weren't, but they weren't there for the Collins.
No.
You know,
no.
But I'm glad that Alice said, you know, the data set, we're going, you know, because of course, the Volturi have said that in order for Bella to survive, she must be turned into a vampire.
Exactly. So how soon do you think Bella will get turned? Well, and do you think it really will happen?
Do you know how long it's taken Stephanie Black just to get through these? I mean, I'm like...
Stephanie Black?
Myers.
Stephanie Myers.
Sorry. Oh, my word. she writes so in detail that, I mean...
But it's not dragging detail.
But not a dragging detail. I had to clarify. There's a big difference between the two. But she talks about it from book one, and here we are getting ready for book four in a year. And
well, how much do you want this to happen? Do you just want? I want it to happen.
You know what, frankly, I'm really torn. I don't know if I don't know if I want Bella to become a vampire.
I would do it the second. I would just say, if you don't turn me right now, I'm going to find someone that will. But you better.
Well, her.
I mean, basically, that's what she's done. She's told Carlisle.
Alice has said she's going to do it. If Edward doesn't, Alice is going to do it.
I mean, seriously. Well, I mean, just because Carlisle of the devotion and she wants to be with him forever. That type of thing. I mean, if you want to be with someone so much forever, you would do anything you could to be with that person forever.
Well, you know what? I have to comment in that scene at the end of book one, when James has bitten Bella.
Oh, yes.
And she could feel the fire.
Yes.
And Carlisle tells Edward he needs to bite her also and suck James' venom out so she won't be turned into a vampire. Right. And he's the one, the whole first book, all you hear is how he doesn't know if he can control himself because the taste and smell of her blood is so tempting to him.
That's his addiction.
That he's worried about being able to control himself, and yet he does it. Because he doesn't want to hurt her. He wants to save her.
Yes.
But then later he talks about how hard it was to stop.
Right, right.
But he did. You know, and so there's that temptation, but you can control it if you really want to.
And that's what this book is all about. Mm-hmm, all these books, this whole series. Yeah, control.
But anyway, I just thought that was one of the more intense. And she, you know, from Bella's point of view, she's barely conscious. She's only hearing bits and pieces of the conversation, but you know what's going on.
Exactly. I think it's funny. You know, exactly.
He bit her?
Yep.
I know. Yep. And so you're like, whoa.
You know, that's why when I've heard of people's objections to these books, I'm thinking, you know what, they're showing.
Well, there hasn't been any. There's just been the one comment that I have come across personally.
Because I'm thinking, you know what, they're showing some high standards here in a lot of ways, in a lot of respects. Well, and a lot of the things that she does, you know what I love is that she doesn't date some of those boys because she really doesn't like them. That's how I've always been. Yeah, that's how I always was. Mm-hmm. I didn't go out with anybody if I really didn't think, I mean,
You were select.
I really was. I didn't date someone just a charity date or, you know, because I went with someone if I really felt like I'd have a good time. I mean, that's what I loved about her not dating.
Not out of obligation.
Yes. I mean, she didn't date some of them because I know, but she didn't date them just because she knew her friends liked them or something. You know, I mean, there's so many aspects about somebody else. And
it's just not fair.
But I love Bella because of that. You know, she really thinks about people and she thinks about others and, she's worried about, you know, I think she's a great character. I really love Bella. But, you know, it's funny, my niece that's almost 17, she does not like Edward. She likes Jacob. And we've had a lot of interesting conversations about this. And she, you know, but I just think that I love Bella for that reason. I wanted to let you guys know on October 31st, there's going to be an online chat where people can talk to Stephanie Meyer. It's at readergirls.com. I don't know if you read about that.
It's online. With a Z.
Yeah, GIRLZ. So it's readergirls.com. But they said that the actual chat is going to take place on myspace.com, and you have to go through and sign up for different things if you want to actually talk to Stephanie Meyer. But I would love to read the transcript afterwards. I don't think it will happen on Halloween. But I would love to read the transcripts afterwards. But if you go to stephaniemeyer.com, there are a lot of different transcripts you can read about different interviews that she has given that give you a lot of insights about whys and ifs, why she wrote this, what, you know, future things that will happen.
Well, just even on her website when she talks about how the story came to be and
everything. And reading Edward's perspective about that first, when she first
kind of talks. I like how she's a little quirky. I like how she wrote the whole book without even names. She just he and she, and then she went back and added names. And Bella is the name that she wanted for her daughter. She has three sons, and she may not have a daughter.
It's so cute.
So she gave this character, and it's so perfect. Bella is so perfect for this.
Right.
Now, before we go on, unless there is something else you wanted to talk about.
No, I was just going to say, if you want to just do something a little bit fun, and if you have an extra 10 or 15 minutes, go to YouTube and type in Twilight. And then it brings up all these little videos that these cute teenager, early 20 girls have made these little videos showing Edward and Bella and different people that they would like to see in the movie of Twilight. And some of them are actual pictures of people that Stephanie Meyer would like to see. She has no control over it. Once you sell your rights to your books,
you've sold your rights.
You've sold your rights. You don't have a choice, but they're kind of fun to watch.
Before we stop talking about the book real quick, I did want to talk about I wanted to ask what you women thought about the collaboration between the Cullens and the werewolves.
I thought it was intriguing.
I love it.
absolutely intriguing because they're natural enemies, if you didn't know that already. But.
Right, they're natural enemies, but the whole reason why they're natural enemies is because what they would feast on humans, but these guys don't, and so but there's still that
animosity,
and just the whole collaboration. They got a lot. They collaborated so well, and smoothly. Though? And the way that Edward could read the mind, what was going on, and how the werewolves can all read each other's minds, so there's no secrets.
Oh, that would be so bad.
Everyone knows everything about everyone in that.
But do you know what I see a problem, though?
Oh, and I liked how Leia became one. The girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was cute, too.
Because it was all young men. And then
but here's my question. Is you know how they're showing the werewolves how to destroy vampires? I'm wondering if later on how many books she goes into, if there's going to be some sort of a conflict at that point. I hope it's just five, too. I'm hoping that it doesn't go beyond that. But I'm wondering if that might be a precursor. Thank you. I can't think of words today. A precursor to some sort of a conflict later on, like especially when, because part of the treaty is they're not allowed to
bite
so not kill.
If they bite a human anywhere,
and that violates the treaty. So how is that going to play
by turning Bella?
Because it doesn't have to be on the land; it can be anywhere.
Bella gets turned by the Volturi.
Ooh, that's a way around it.
Bella gets turned by the Volturi.
That's a way around
it. That would really irritate me, though. I wanted to get bit by somebody she likes.
Yeah, but that would be a way around it so that they don't violate the treaty.
That's true.
Maybe. I don't know.
I hope that happens.
Isn't it fun to speculate?
It is. I love it.
Stephanie, if you're listening, we think that's a good idea.
Well, I'm sure she's already written it.
And has all, you know, those authors that have these series, they have all their ideas that they've already written down. Right. It's like Jo Rowling, she already knew what the last line of her book was going to be, and I think she changed it. I know she did. She changed it. It wasn't the same. But all those years, she had an idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
But I love Stephanie Meyer, you guys. I think she's very talented. Books.
And it just seems to... I love it when something comes so naturally and just comes
into me.
And
totally flows. It goes along with the sensual idea.
I know you weren't really a big part of this, but remember when the whole Lord of the Rings thing was going on? And I was like, seriously, I spent days where it seemed like I eat, breathe, and slept Lord of the Rings. I watched the movies, I listened to the books on tape, and I read the books.
Yes.
When all of that was coming out. I thought, what could possibly come after... Lord of the Rings.
That would take this place.
That would intrigue me literally, as much as Lord of the Rings did. And of course, there's been a few things here and there, but Stephanie Meyer's the next thing that has. No, I'm not. I really could care less about the movies. Some people are so. I am not sure.
I have mixed feelings about it.
I'm scared.
They can do whatever they want with the movies, as far as I'm concerned.
If they don't nail it, it's going to be so hard. So I don't know if I want to see it. I really don't know.
I mean, Lord of the Ring movies are fabulous. Yep, especially the extended versions. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic.
I mean, yes, there are changes, but I am okay with them because movie wise, you kind of have to.
And the Harry Potter movies, there've been a lot of controversy, but they've done a pretty good job as far, you know.
And that's been, the whole Harry Potter thing's kind of not been.
But I'm just really worried if they don't nail the right characters and get the right Edward. See, this is on YouTube, they've shown different people trying to play Edward, and it's like, no, that's not him. No, that's not. They've gotten some good Bellas there, they've gotten some good Carlos, some good Esmes. I mean, but it's just like, they've got to nail Edward.
Yep, Edward's
to
the
me,
big one.
He is more important even than Bella.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
He has to hit the right, because he's,
for me,
he's what brings the,
he is.
The whole
he's
electricity, the as you were saying. Into yes. The book. So yes. Personally, the way I feel about these books, as long as the books exist, whatever with the movies, I could not even see the movies.
Well,
I'll be happy
you know
with my
what?
Whole life. So
this is one of those cases where I don't know if it's possible for the movie to be better than the book. And the only way that I've ever seen that is Bridges, Madison County, where the movie is so much better than the book. But I'll have to warn you, that's a little bit racy. But
yeah, I was going to say that one.
I think I've only ever saw the edited version.
And it's okay because, you know, it's okay. Just know that the movie's better than the book. But
that's how it was with Where the Heart Is.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
With Natalie
Portman.
I thought I read the book and I thought that the movie was better.
But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. But one last word to Stephanie Meyer and to anyone else, to quote her, these books dazzle me. They do. They dazzle me. That's what I can say. And they filled my niche after I got all of my Harry Potter craze over the summer. Mm-hmm. Totally. I needed something. I was thirsting for something.
No, that's horrible. But you know what? I have to say, that's one thing I love about books is because you get through one and you think, how could I possibly find another series or anything that I like as much as this one? And you give it a little time and someone else comes up with something that just grabs you again.
I hope so, because right now I don't know.
First it was Lord of the Rings. This then it was really Harry Potter. Now it's Stephanie Meyer. Something else will come along. Something else always comes
It will have along. To be something pretty spectacular.
Well, didn't you say the same thing about Harry Potter? It'd have to be something really good? Or
yeah. Well, and this is so different from Harry Potter.
Well, that's what makes it spectacular. So yeah. It's always something different. Yeah. There's so many ways to write.
Very good. True.
And this is just an amazing series. If you haven't read it, I would say we all recommend it. And I would take this with me on a desert island.
We have purchased them, and we are taking them with us.
They would be going with me.
And I will probably read them every year.
I think I will. Definitely. Oh, these are maybe definitely a couple times a year. I was like, these are a couple of times a year for me, probably. I'd say at least twice.
Mm-hmm. Definitely go back and read. Just get your fix. Need your Edward fix.
Need my Edward fix. Revisit. Well, and especially when they come out next, when the new one comes out, I'll reread these again.
I will too.
And the more you read them, the faster you read them.
Do we have a date yet on when number 4
is coming out? It just says fall of 2008 is all it says.
That's such a long time for me.
It is.
We'll just have to read a lot of books to distract ourselves.
Yes.
Because, you know, we have Jeff Savage's books coming out.
Yes, I am.
Beverly Lewis has a couple that we need to revisit.
I still need to read Beverly
Lewis. Yeah, like those whole big stacks of books we're talking about.
Yes.
Plow through them while we're waiting for fall 2008.
Man.
Anyway, so we thank you for joining us again on LDS Women's Book Review. This has been a really fun podcast for us. I hope you've enjoyed it also. I hope you've found the new sound without all the echoing. It sounds a little more clear and professional. I hope that's worked for you also. Please give us your feedback. Please enter the contest. Even if you don't want to enter the contest, give us feedback and say this isn't for the contest, because we just love to hear from you. Book suggestions, author suggestions. Hey, what did you think? Put it on the forum.
You know, we're curious what you guys think about Twilight. Let us know, or the series in general. Just let us know.
And what you thought of what we've said, because the interesting discussions come from books like this.
I would also like to get a male perspective of the Twilight books. I keep trying to tell my husband that I need to get the CD so he can listen to those.
My husband wants to read
them. I don't know about that, but it's like, I'm going to do it anyhow.
I'll call for that. He wants to read them because I want him to read them. And he's interested. When I started saying, when I took a break and he's like, coming up for air, huh? And I said, yeah. And I said, the werewolves and the vampires are collaborating to fight against other vampires. He's like, oh, really? And I said, I started to say something. He's all, no, wait, I want to read it. So, you know, I know it's written from a female perspective, and I know he's not going to be like, oh, I'll read it for that. He's just interested in how she's presented the vampire werewolf thing. Cause that's the true. Guy element. You know, that's what he cares about.
You know
he's
what? If the guy
my husband just rolls his eyes.
Well, but if they pick up just a little bit on some of the hints, the little things there, you know, of how to treat a woman. I mean, not that they don't treat us well, but you know what I'm saying?
No, they treat us good, but they need a refresher. Like, yes, they need a refresher.
Read this as a unobtrusive how-to book.
Yeah, there you go. That's right.
This is what I like. Anyway, sorry. But you know, I mean, I'll let you know if he reads them. He does a lot of traveling. There's just a lot going on. But as far as the vampire, you know, he's read Interview with a Vampire. He's seen it.
See, I've never read it.
I haven't either. I'd be interested to see. I'm sure he would like this kind of, the you know, vampires that don't drink human blood. He'd be interested in that kind of perspective. But I can't wait for Stephanie to write from a male perspective, because I really think that would bring in the guys into it a little more.
Well, and Edward is fascinating. That first chapter.
Oh,
it's like you don't realize. You realize his problem, but you don't realize the extent of his thirst for her.
I know.
Right.
Until you read that and you go, oh my word, how did he control himself?
But from Bella's point of view, he is such a jerk.
Yeah, and you feel like he's a jerk until you figure out why.
Until you read from the other side. Yeah.
No, you have to go to the website and just explore. It's amazing the phenomenon that this is, that has occurred because of these books.
And you can enjoy them without being sucked into the whole stereotype kind of thing. I have only been to the website one time. I'll go and read Edward's perspective, but I'm not into going and reading fan fiction and things like that. That's not my
thing. There's a lot of that out there, too.
There's a ton.
Yeah. And I'm not interested in that kind of thing. I don't want to get all swept up. I'm not going to go scream at Stephanie Meyer when she's at the library visiting locally or anything like that. I'm not into that kind of thing. But I am definitely enjoying a good read. And that's what it is for me.
And it is. It's a great read.
Yep. I'm taking it with me on the deserted island.
Me too.
I'm never getting rid of that.
No, these are my books.
They're mine. I know. And this is saying something, because we're tight right now and I didn't pay the gas bill, so I could have these books.
Oh, well. Oh no.
all $15 of my gas bill, because you know how the summer is. But
yeah, yeah. Gas bill. I wish it could always be like that. My power bill doesn't go down that much in the wintertime.
Mine doesn't either. I know. I want to write a letter.
Anyway, okay. Well, okay. Not to get off on a different subject. Thank you again for joining us for this podcast, episode 16 of LDS Woman's Book Review. Don't forget to go check out the website, www.ldswomensbookreview.com. Click on the contest link. Find out how you can enter to win House of Secrets and Dead on Arrival, one of two sets by Jeff Savage. Also, email us, Shanda or Sheila or Hillary at ldswomensbookreview.com with your comments and feedback. Post on the forum, because we really need people to post there. We're kind of slow. Let's get things picked up again if we can.
Sheila let's talk and I about Twilight. Talk
and yeah, let's get talk to, post talking about, on there Twilight about Twilight. Anyway, we've loved having you join us for this podcast. Be sure to join us next time when we talk about The Candy Shop War by Brandon Mull. We all have copies of it, so we'll be reading and discussing that one as our main book, and we'll also be personally picking a few that we want to review for you, and we'll have plenty of other recent reads to talk to you about, as well as our recommendations for Christmas gifts. So be sure to join us in November for episode 17.
Bye. See ya.
Sorry, no singing this time.